Welcome to the Dead Pixel Society podcast, the photo imaging industry's leading news source. Here's your host, Gary Peugeot.
The Dead Pixel Society podcast is brought to you by Media Clip, Advertech Printing, and Independent Photo Imagers.
Hello again and welcome to the Dead Pixel Society podcast. I'm your host, Gary Peugeot, and today we're joined by Dmitry Smirnov, the CEO of Big Life Marketing, and he's coming to us from Dallas, Texas today. Hi, Dmitry. How are you today?
I'm a little bit cold today, but doing well otherwise. Nice to be here.
Yeah, I think it's actually probably, you look more bundled up than I am, and I'm in Michigan and you're in Dallas, but I think, and for those who can't see, he's wearing the full headgear and a parka this day.
So. Well, it's getting the job done. I feel very warm and cozy here in my cold office.
Well, that's because we're a very warm and cozy podcast. We make you feel comfortable. And so those vibes are coming through the camera and the microphone, and you're just feeling it right there. So tell us a little bit about your business before we get into the topic of Google Ads and how to make them more effective. Talk a little bit about, you know, starting your company. It's a small company, but powerful.
I would agree with that. And speaking of the warm and cozy, our business is all about making business owners feel warm and cozy when they're running paid advertising, because it could be a little bit stressful when you're spending lots of money and not knowing what the result is going to be. Are you going to be profitable? Are you going to even break even? Or you're just going to lose your entire investment. And right. Are things working? Are customers going to buy tomorrow or in 180 days or 5 years from now? All those are questions that our clients need help with. And that's what we're really good at doing. And so, I mean, just going back to the foundation is, Google Ads is kind of a mystery box. Facebook, on the other hand, kind of made it easy for people to run themselves sometimes. It's a pretty good platform and interface, whereas Google Ads is, I would say, a little bit more advanced. So why did we start the business? To help people get onto the Google Ads platform, which includes YouTube ads, and use that scale. And Google's the biggest platform in the world. It has the most eyeballs of any website or business. It knows everything about everyone. They use their browsers, Android phones, you use YouTube, Gmail, Google Maps. It's almost infinite what Google knows about us. So it's a platform that everyone has to be on. That's why we started the business. And that's why it works, because we're also very data driven and is a perfect match with Google Ads.
So did you have an advertising background before you started this business, or is this something you just said, I see an opportunity, I'm going to start a business?
Well, my entire career has been spent inside of Google Ads. In fact, I don't remember a single day that I had not logged into Google Ads. It's like even on vacation. One of the fun parts about doing direct response marketing is that there's always something new to do. There's always new data that comes in, and it's just fun to do. And my background, my education is statistics and economics. Plus, I like creative endeavors, drawing, and other things like that. And I like to say marketing is the perfect combination of math and creativity. So it gets to be both fun and fulfilling working in Google Ads.
So we're talking at this time just after the holiday season, right? So the holiday season wrapped up, and in the photo industry, photo imaging industry, that is like the Super Bowl, right? I mean, if you got to make your bones in the fourth quarter. And then now is the time where a lot of people spend time kind of assessing what worked and are making plans for the future, because a lot of folks, as you know, you got to plan 3-4 months out on ad buys and things like that. So what kind of things should a business owner, small business owner, consider when they're reviewing their previous sales or previous metrics? Are there like clues that they can look into on what worked and what didn't so they can plan for the future?
Yes. Just on a bare bones basic level is, did your business make more revenue than when you weren't running paid advertising? And so if that's a yes, okay, that's a positive sign already, because a lot of times the answer is no, in which case a lot more needs to be reevaluated. And the easiest way to go about things is do more of what's working. So if you just added paid ads and you got more revenue, well, try even more paid ads now to have a bigger budget. Why not? Now, there's, of course, a lot of more complicated metrics than just the basic, is there more revenue? There's net profit. There's the cost to acquire a customer. There's a lifetime value of a customer. There's their marketing efficiency ratio. And not to get super into the weeds of things, but a couple of those metrics you really want to know as a business owner, especially if you're going into the paid advertising space. And if you already are in the paid advertising space, if you're looking to scale, there's a big difference between spending $1,000 a month on ads and $100,000 a month on ads.
Right.
You at $1,000, you can make all the mistakes in the world and it's not going to affect your business in a negative way at scale. Whereas $100,000 or more, we have some clients that have spent over $1 million a month in just Google ads. You can't make those kinds of mistakes.
Right. So,
finding out the cost to acquire a customer, regardless of what your offer is, whether you're selling a $20 product or a $20,000 product, you have to know what it costs to get that customer.
Sure.
And everything stems off of that.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit then about kind of the paid advertising space, because it's more than just buying, quote, keyword, unquote, right? I mean, there's some strategy involved. There's timing involved. There's all kinds of strategies involved. And as you said, it also gets into some video now. Can you talk a little bit about that consideration as you're making your plan?
There's a lot of it depends on the offer and depending on.
So let's say, for example, I'll give you a typical example you can kind of riff off on. Or let's say, for example, you are making canvas prints and it's a very competitive market, right? There's literally hundreds, maybe even thousands of people offering canvas prints. And it's usually some sort of discount offer. So go.
For companies that offer canvas prints, typically it's a play into long-term value. You're not going to make money on that first sale, especially when you're paying for ads. Oftentimes you'll lose money. So the question is, when you do acquire a new customer, how much will they make you over X period of time? And these are numbers that you need to figure out. How much will you make on day one? How much will you make in 30 days, 6 months, a year, and so on? So if you have those numbers, once I get a customer, they pay me, let's say, $100 on average on day one. And then by 6 months, they've paid another $100. And by a year, they paid another. So it's a $300 one-year value per customer.
Right.
So now you get to decide, depending on your cash flow, of course, and that's a consideration. But out of those $300 in revenue, what's my cost of goods sold? That takes some chunk out of that revenue. And then you determine, what do I want my margin to be? And that's how much you can spend on advertising.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say cost of goods sold is $100 and you want a $100 margin on that $300 customer over the course of a year, then you have $100 to spend on advertising.
Mm-hmm.
That's the foundation of all advertising, is just knowing what your margin is, how much you have to spend. And before you have these numbers, in case you're a business that doesn't know these numbers and you don't even have customers, then it's more of a guess and check type of operation. You kind of just have to experiment and see how long your customers stay for. Okay, so the second part of this is where is the customer in the customer journey? If they're looking for canvas prints today, then Google search is the way to go, because they're at the bottom of the funnel. They want a solution today. They want to get it done now. Google search. So bid on keywords like canvas print for family photos or something like that. Search can often be expensive depending on the keywords. I don't know exactly what it is in the imaging canvas space, but I would guess it could be $5 or $10. Some industries it's $100 per click. Now some are less, they could be a dollar. So so that's another consideration to keep in mind.
And in our space, we've got established players who have already, bid those words up.
100%. And your competition, you have to separate yourself from your competition in some way. So when you're advertising your service, how are you positioning yourself in comparison to the big player like Shutterfly? What is unique about your offer that they won't get from Shutterfly? Is it price is going to be difficult to compete on? So is it your service? Is it your quality of the print? Is it your shipping offer? Is it your bonus, get one free, or something that you do to get people off of Shutterfly because everyone knows about them? You need to get them into your business. Maybe it's a personal phone call, like, hey, I'll talk to you and help you plan this canvas print or this family journal the way that with a professional eye. Like, for example, that would be interesting for people who aren't looking for bottom of the barrel pricing. They're there are more sophisticated consumers looking for a better end product.
Sure.
That's how you would differentiate yourself. Now, one more thing, I'm going to get into another math part of this.
You didn't tell me there was going to be math.
I think it's middle school math. So it's just middle school, okay? If you're paying $5 a click and you need to convert that user in $100 or less, that means one out of every 20 people that click on your ad has to become a customer for this whole equation to work out. If you're starting, and there's steps in a funnel to get a customer. Usually it's click on the ad, get to your website. Maybe there's a lead form. Mm-hmm. Maybe they fill out some information, and then eventually they pay. So you have to watch every step of that funnel to make sure you're still on track to hit that $100 cost to acquire a customer. Now, finally, if users aren't necessarily looking to buy that product today, that's where you can start showing display ads, video ads. You can also do remarketing people who have visited your site before but didn't buy or did buy and want to buy again. Video and display ads are very good at explaining more, overcoming objections. There's so many reasons that your customers didn't buy. You have to figure out what those reasons are and address them in your video ads. Video ads are so powerful. You can pay $2 to $3 per click on a video ad. You have between 30 seconds and 30 minutes if you want a video time space to show the ad, assuming they don't skip your ad, and you can explain everything. Video is incredibly powerful for top and middle of funnel customers.
Mm-hmm. So for those who are relatively new to this, just really quick, like in 15 seconds, explain what you mean by funnel.
Funnel is the journey that that you take a prospect through to go from not knowing about you to becoming a customer. Mm-hmm. So a funnel includes your landing page, any type of email automation, text automation that you might have that goes off of a, let's say a landing page lead form, and just that whole internet. And sometimes offline too, if a phone calls could be involved, but the whole funnel.
Basically, you're taking people from the biggest part of the audience and whittling them down into the people who actually buy.
Exactly, into the shape of a funnel. So they're going from never knowing about you, but they know they're solution aware. They know that there are businesses that do what you do. Now, the next part is getting them to know that you are one of those businesses, then getting them to thinking, well, maybe I will buy from your business, and then ultimately to buying from your business and buying over and over again.
Sure. So if someone has an established, let's say they have someone on staff who's like buying up Google ads because they're also doing Facebook. I mean, you know, a lot of the people that are in my audience, right? They have one person who kind of does all that. They maybe do the social, they're doing the Facebook ads, they're doing some Google keyword buys, and maybe they're managing the YouTube page, right? They're kind of this, you know, catch-all, you know, utility person who's kind of doing it all. And that's the typical small business, right? The owner says, you're the digital person, you do it all. But those are very, very different disciplines, aren't they?
It depends on how granularly you want to get and how high you want to scale.
Right.
For general small businesses, I think one digital marketing expert could actually do it all. Mm-hmm. But get to the big scales of high ad spend, over $1 million a year in ad spend per platform, the knowledge is a little bit more advanced for
right.
in agencies like ours, because we only work in Google Ads. We know exactly what ads need to be run for Google Ads traffic. We know the landing pages. The state of mind of our customers is different
sure.
in Google Ads than it is in Facebook. For example, on Facebook, typically it's just scrolling, and it's a matter of pattern interrupt, get your attention, get a click. Whereas
right.
on YouTube, a lot of people are searching for specific answers to questions that they have. And that's a completely different mindset, a very powerful mindset. They're looking for a solution.
Right.
And
like how to make a butter book.
Yeah.
How to hang a canvas, how to take a better picture, right? So those are all things you can key in on.
Exactly.
You know, you always hear about, you know, the algorithm changing and things like that. And that's on the search side. Does that happen on the ad side in Google, or is it pretty much the same all the way through? How often is that changing? I keep hearing it changes all the time.
The algorithm is a black box, and it's impossible to really know what exactly is changing. I'm certain that it's changing all the time in both search and video ads, similar to how the SEO algorithm changes. The extra information that we get as an advertiser, and by the way, anyone can get this information by just logging into Google Ads. You have the access. It's not like agencies have special access to this information.
Right.
But you get to see what is your view rate, what is your CTR, what is your conversion rate. And ultimately, no matter what the algorithms are, they want your ads to act as quality content on their platform. So if a lot of people are watching your ads and they're clicking your ads and then they're converting into buyers off of your ads, the ad platforms will keep feeding your ads for lower cost per click.
So honestly, it's in their best interest to make their platform more effective, because then people just stop using it if it doesn't work.
Well, the best type of advertising is when you don't know that it's an ad, really.
Right.
And it still convinces you to buy. And really, an ad platform wants a good user experience. They want the users to keep using YouTube.com, for example. And if an right. ad pops up that half the people aren't clicking skip on, that's even better than a really good organic YouTube video, because not only is Google still right. getting the attention from whoever's watching, but they're also getting paid for it.
Yeah. So, you know, as a person who lives like in, you know, I watch TV and I also watch YouTube videos and all that, I often see messages very similar, right? It's like a TV ad and it's repurposed almost as a YouTube message. What do you think about that? Do you think that makes sense? Just a repurpose, even though it's a different platform?
It does make sense, because it's at least a foot in the door. It's mm-hmm. seeing where do I stand now with the existing content that I have. One of the biggest hurdles for advertisers is making the ad. So
right.
if you already have the content, just put it on and see what happens. And then you optimize off of that with iterative A/B testing.
Right.
So I'm a big fan of using repurposed content, whether it's coming from TV, whether it's coming from Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that you have gets the ball rolling.
Okay. Yeah, again, going to go with basic terms, because maybe not everyone knows the term. What do you mean by A/B testing?
A/B testing is when you take one variable,
mm-hmm.
for example, in your ad. Let's say a headline is one variable of your ad, where there's image, headline, subheadline, logo, mm-hmm. maybe something else.
Call to action at some point.
Yes, call to action. So let's say on a static image, not a video. But on a video, you have tons of different variables, even more than a static image. But just for an image, you have a headline, or a search ad for that matter, you have a headline. That's the variable. And you want to test one option against another option, option A versus option B, and see which one performs better than the other. And by the way, when you do these tests, you want your results to be statistically significant. And back to the math part, but it's not good enough to just get 5 clicks on each and make a decision based on that. So you want to set some kind of confidence interval. Like there's a 90% chance that my test is significant and run the A/B test that way and just keep iterating, because no matter how good your ad is, there's always a better headline waiting to be put in. And even if there isn't, there's a thing called ad fatigue. And after a certain number of impressions, people just respond less to the same ad.
Well, that was kind of where I was going to with the repurposing content, right? If I've seen the ad on, you know, TV or streaming service, and then I see the same ad on YouTube, it's like skip, 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 because I've already seen it, you know. So, you know, that's where I think, like you said, maybe you need to tweak that a little bit.
And here's a note about skipping ads. Let's see. The benchmark CTR that we aim for on a YouTube ad is 1%. Meaning we expect 99 out of 100 people to skip our ad effectively.
Right.
Or to at least not click on it. So most ads don't work, but the ones that do get a click, they're powerful. And another thing is this is a side note, but an important side note. It's not about getting more clicks necessarily. It's about getting more high quality clicks. So if you can only get a 0.5% CTR, but everyone who's clicking over is becoming a customer, you don't really need to change much, because you're actually hitting that target audience of yours and everyone else is skipping, which is perfect.
Yeah, that's right. Because I mean, that, you know, click throughs are great, but if people aren't actually buying or logging into your, you know, signing up for the newsletter or doing whatever it is you want them to do, then it's not great. But if 100% of the people who click through do it, then it's much more effective.
Yes. And that's part of monitoring every step of the funnel. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you can have a very good beginning of the funnel and it kind of drops off at the end. And that's a quality of traffic issue. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you have low view rates, low CTRs, that's more of a ad creative issue.
Mm-hmm. So you can actually identify what's working in an ad based on how people are interacting with it.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Photo retailers, energize your sales with ShareMe Chat, the proven texting platform. Using chat to text on your website keeps your customers connected and buying. See us at Pro and IPI to find out why dealers using ShareMe Chat close more sales without adding staff. Find out more at ShareMe.chat.
Yes, and you can have a very entertaining ad that's maybe like a movie trailer where things are blowing up and there's nudity or something and everyone's watching it. But no one's clicking it because it's not relevant to them as a buyer. So,
You know, it's funny because you mentioned that, because a lot of times I see ads on social or whatever, and it seems like it's more about the agency trying to make something for the clip reel than actually getting results for their clients.
I think that's one of the biggest differences of our agency, is that we care about the end of the whole advertising process. We want the client to make more money, and not even just from a revenue perspective, but from a net profit perspective. That's why tracking, and we call these the CFO numbers, but like we're looking into the CRM, how far are they going? How are they interacting with the sales team?
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff is so important to the front end piece of it. It's not just about getting impressions. Almost no company, unless you're publicly traded and just have $100 million quarterly budget for advertising that needs to go somewhere.
Right.
Most people don't care about impressions. They care about sales.
Right. And if, and not only sales, but are we selling that product profitably? Right. I mean, that's one of the challenges that we have in the photo imaging space on the output side, like when you're talking about, you know, Canvas or books or things, you know, people do a lot of discounting to get that traffic. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, are they going to make money over term? You know, how many canvases is somebody going to buy in a year, right? You hope they buy three. They may just take advantage of your offer and then bail.
As an advertiser, you need to pay attention to.
Right, exactly.
You can get there's different types of customers. Okay. There's ones that are just looking for a bargain. They'll get the lowest price you can. And those are difficult customers to make a profit, quite frankly. Right. Everyone's after that higher ticket, more customized service type of customer. Same with our agency. We don't want to work with anyone. In fact, we'd rather work with almost nobody. And the ones that we do work with, they are giving us agency to perform the things that we know that we're really good at doing. Right. But going back to making a profit on an offer, that's also something to consider is, should I keep discounting? Should I keep going after the bottom of the barrel type?
Right.
Of
I mean, no, I mean that's the way to talk about it. Sure.
Because maybe you won't make a profit. So you can, again, A-B test. You can A-B test your offer. It doesn't just have to be a variable in your ad creative. You can A-B test anything. So you can send people to an offer that's low ticket and basic cookie cutter, or something that costs 5 or 10 times as much for the same thing, except it's customized, very high quality print, high quality paper, custom etching, wherever. And see, maybe you'll get 5 times fewer customers, but at a 10x price, you're making 2 times the revenue, and probably.
Well, your margin will be better. Sure.
Margin is I don't know how many times better. So, rethinking the offer sometimes is the big click that could change the business's trajectory.
Mm-hmm. So you see, the challenge that the photo industry has is, for something like that, like, you know, a canvas print, let's stick with canvas prints. Unlike almost any other product that you buy online, the user has to do something to create the product, right? If I'm buying a hat like you're wearing, you know, I can just look online, click, and have it shipped to my house, right? In our world, I want to picture of you on a canvas wearing that hat and those glasses and that cool parka. I have to get the picture somehow. I have to upload it. I have to go through a bunch of steps, right? So so a lot of people use price to just get people's attention, right? Just to make them aware, hey, you can do this. And then it's very hard to move them up the chain to, you know, those other products.
I mean, that's the standard thing. And there may be a creative way to do this completely differently.
Sure.
One thing that for example, we only work really with high-end, high-ticket type of clients who are selling things for at least $500. Typically, especially if it's a digital product, we want them to have something that's $5,000 or $25,000.
Right.
Certification things, something like that. So I'm thinking it from that perspective.
Sure.
What can we do around canvas prints, considering the objections you just mentioned, that we can explain potentially in a long form video ad, maybe a webinar, maybe a video sales letter, where you're not selling just the canvas print that anyone can get on Shutterfly, but you're selling the entire done for you experience where they don't even have to select the photos. They don't have to do anything. You have, but it costs, instead of $50, it costs $1,000 or $2,000, whatever it is. And there's, I'm sure, a lot of people.
I mean, canvas prints can run into the hundreds, right? I mean, you can spend a lot of money on canvas prints. And so, I mean, you know, it is, and that's one of the reasons why people like it, right? Is because as a provider, you know, you get somebody making, you know, a 20 by 24 print, and that's, you know, $300, right? So it can run into some money. From a revenue generating standpoint. But again, the challenge is that sometimes scares people off. But I kind of like what you were saying, right? Just kind of own that piece that, you know, there's a lot of people who aren't going to go through that process, who maybe could be walked through with a higher end, almost like a white glove sales treatment.
Yes. Yes. And so rethinking what you're selling could also change the trajectory of your business, going from being a provider of a commodity, and there's hundreds of websites that can give you canvases prints, but there's only one business, or maybe it's even a local business. Maybe it's a brick and mortar where somebody can actually come in and somebody works with you. I don't know what it is. Like,
that's exactly what people should be doing. Right.
And it's a different experience. It's more fun for you as the service provider. It's more fun for the customer. And then the other thing is, you have that customer for life if you do a good job. They'll come to you for all of their photo needs and video editing, whatever else that you do, they'll come to you. So you also have a much larger long-term value on that.
No, I get that. Typically speaking, you know, when you take a business course about a class or, you know, about how to run a business, they say, you know, your advertising budget should be 3 to 5%, right? Or of total sales, or, you know, there's usually a number. Is that the advice anymore? Or is it a little more nuanced than that these days?
For small businesses, I never found that advice to be helpful. For major conglomerate corporations, sure. Because they just need to sign something, stick with it. There's too much bureaucracy to be flexible. So something like that, it has to be set in advance where it's a percentage of revenue or whatever it is. A small business should look at advertising completely differently. Why, if something is working, why would you limit yourself to some percentage of revenue or some set cost for your advertising? If it's working and the cash is turning over, and it's turning a profit, keep increasing your scale, especially if you can keep fulfilling. Obviously, if you're maxed out on fulfillment, you have to pause, you have to hire more people. But if you can fulfill everything, just keep going. It can be indefinite. There's no limit. There's no preset limit that you should set on advertising.
Is that a relatively new philosophy, or is that something you just have figured out, having done this for a while, that that seems to be the way things are moving?
I'm not sure, because I'm not so much in the corporate world, although we do work with corporate clients, and it is a little bit more difficult for them to set their budget. But for me, it's just an intuitive, obvious thing,
exactly.
You know, and I come from an affiliate marketing world where you spend your own money to sell other people's products. And in that world, if let's say I spend $1,000 a day and I generate $2,000 in income, my next question is, well, how do I spend $2,000 a day today so I can generate $4,000 in income, or maybe $3,500 in income where it's still a higher margin or net profit? And I go until I keep going until there's no marginal improvement in increased advertising. And now you found your optimal point. So you just keep going until it's no longer marginally profitable for each additional advertising dollar.
Mm-hmm. That sounds very data driven.
It is.
Sounds like math.
Well, it's kind of a cheat code because there's no secret to it. There's no hidden numbers. There's no tricks. It's a simple input output, mm-hmm. and you don't have to guess. You don't have to set limits or floors or anything. You just give and take.
You know, it's interesting that's kind of an interesting philosophy. And I could see that actually working a lot better for people who are smaller or mid-sized, right? Because those people tend to be more instinctive in their businesses, and they do want to, you know, can react to things quickly and, you know, see a return and act on it, as opposed to, you know, a $1 billion company who, you know, has to do a quarterly budget and all that other fun stuff and just, okay, we're spending 3% this quarter.
Small businesses have a massive advantage over large businesses in multiple ways. Number one, they can be flexible. They can always turn on a dime if something is not working, or if something is working, you put more eggs into that basket that's working, and it's instant feedback. There's no one you have to get approval from to pursue the next step. You can hire a consultant to change your website, and overnight things could be different. And so with a small business, everything moves fast, very fast. It's a massive advantage.
So if people wanted to learn more about your company and the type of things your company offers, where would they go, Dimitri?
BigLifeMarketing.com is the best place to check us out, and we have case studies up there. We've worked with some very massive celebrity-type clients like Jordan Belfort, The Wolf of Wall Street, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. In the coaching space, we worked with Brooke Castillo from the Life Coach School, which is a massive coaching and certification company. So, and then we have e-commerce case studies. So you can check everything out there. kind of our philosophy, how we do things in a little bit more detail than I explained here. But I think you kind of get the idea, and we're very data driven. We're very net profit focused, and we're very creative focused, because that's what drives ultimately the biggest differentiator. Forget all the algorithms, forget like all the math and whatever. Really strong creative is advertising. Creative and copy, that's what makes advertising a winner or a loser. And mm-hmm. so we're all about that. So biglifemarketing.com, that's the best place.
Awesome. Well, great, Dimitri. It's great to meet you, and look forward to learning more about Big Life Marketing. Hope we get a chance to chat again soon.
Well, I had a lot of fun talking with you, Gary, and actually I got some new ideas, I think, for some of our clients too, in rethinking their offer potentially for maybe some a little bit more high ticket. So I appreciate the conversation. I enjoyed it.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Pixel Society podcast. Read more great stories and sign up for the newsletter at www.thedeadpixelssociety.com.